You are listening to The Pulse, Rod Murray's e-learning tech podcast, number
123. Hi, this is Rod Murray. Welcome back to my podcast. Well, we're in the midst of summer, so that was a teaser from the Summer Concerto from Vivaldi's The Four Seasons. So stay tuned for the full piece at the end of my podcast. This podcast is sponsored by Inside Higher Ed, the online source for news, opinion, and jobs for all of higher education. I also invite you to follow me on Twitter. My handle is RodsPods. As always, I post links to all the things we talk about on my show notes at www.rodspulsepodcast.com. My topic today is e-learning tech. What's on the horizon? It's a bit of a play on words because I'll be talking about the 2014 Horizon Report. I'm doing something a little different this time. I'm also making this an interactive podcast. That is, even though you're listening to this asynchronously, you'll have the opportunity to take part in several polls that I'll be doing for the fun of it, I hope. So if you are listening to this through Inside Higher Ed, you might want to go to my show notes at www.rodspulsepodcast.com. There you'll see all the links to the polls I'll be using throughout my talk. And in fact, I'm splitting this into two talks. Part one, this month, I'll be covering trends in pedagogy, and next month, the technology of flipping the classroom. I'm also adding a video feature, so if you are on my show notes, you can link to the YouTube video, sort of a voiceover PowerPoint, which might make a little bit more sense because I will be referring to some images, but it should stand alone as an audio podcast if you're listening to it now that way. Or you can view the video embedded on my show notes or on the Inside Higher Ed site. So with that said, let's get started. So my main topic today is e-learning tech. What is on the horizon? I like to make this interactive, so to speak, even though it's asynchronous. You'll see what I mean in a moment. I'd like to tell you who we are at U-Sciences. Then I'll be talking about the 2014 Horizon Report and focus in on trends in pedagogy and technology of flipping the classroom. So to make this a little bit interactive, I'd like to ask you, which kind of device are you using right now in watching this or listening to this podcast or video, as the case may be? So if you're just on audio, you can still participate. Just go to www.rodspulsepodcast.com/p/device.html and kindly answer the poll, and you'll see what other viewers have also answered once you put in your result. So where is U-Sciences? And whenever I give a talk in person, I like to talk about, you know, my sponsor, in essence, U-Sciences. So the second poll is that same URL, except usciences.html. So where do you think U-Sciences is? Well, who are we? We are a private, comprehensive, coeducational institution founded in 1821. We were the first school of pharmacy in North America. And I won't read you everything on all my slides, but we're in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We're very proud of our pharmacy legacy. Some very familiar sounding names were graduates of our College of Pharmacy, then called the Philadelphia College of Pharmacy, Dr. Eli Lilly, Gerald Rohrer, William Warner, Robert McNeil, John Wyeth, Silas Burroughs, and Sir Henry Welcome. So my next question is, have you ever heard of the Horizon Report? Again, if you wish to take part in the poll, go to www.rodspulsepodcast.com/p/horizon.html. The Horizon Report is actually the NMC Horizon Report. It's a collaboration between the New Media Consortium and the EDUCAUSE Learning Initiative. So I really recommend this report. Every year it comes out, and they gather experts from all over the world to essentially vote on what they think the latest technologies are and what's on the horizon and different time horizons. Just to give you a taste of what it is, here's a screenshot of part of their report from 2013. And they talk about key trends, significant challenges, and so on. And what I'm going to focus on is the time to adoption of 1 year or less. And you can see, for example, that massively open online courses, MOOCs, were on the horizon last year for 1 year or less. And so therefore, this year, it doesn't show up. MOOCs do not show up. So in the 2014 Horizon Report, the key trends that they reported for 1 to 2 years, which is where I'll be focusing this talk, they came up with social media and online, hybrid, and collaborative or peer learning. And then you'll see that they identified other trends over 3 to 5 years, data-driven learning and assessment, and students as consumers to students as creators. And then after 5 years, the long-range trends are agile approaches to change and evolution of online learning. So I encourage you to go to the full report and read more detail. So they also then talk about important developments in educational technology, again, with the 3 different time horizons. So for less than a year is the flipped classroom and learning analytics. For 2 to 3 years, we have 3D printing and games and gamification. And 4 to 5 years, we have the quantified self and virtual assistants. So again, for this talk, I'm concentrating on pedagogy trends of online, hybrid, and collaborative peer learning and the technology of the flipped classroom. And so what are the pedagogy trends? I guess you could talk about speech being one of the very early forms of learning. I guess you could call it S-learning, when speech was used to convey knowledge and information. And we move to W-learning, or writing. You know, the images here are the cave paintings and some Egyptian characters writing on basically, I guess, Sanskrit. But as you'll note here, teachers were even resistant to W-learning. Socrates said, "Writing destroys the memory and weakens the mind." Hieronymo Squarciofico in 1477 said that the abundance of books makes men less studious. So faculty are often resistant to the latest learning technologies. Now, I can't show you the full video here, but basically it's a very funny video. It's an ad for the Pulse Smart Pen from LiveScribe. So I give the link here. And basically it shows a frenetic professor scribbling about the Krebs cycle on the blackboard very quickly, and the students looking very puzzled. So hopefully your lectures are not like that. So what we see in terms of the shifting pedagogy is that e-learning spectrum is shifting. And this slide sort of shows you the way that we're moving from more face-to-face to more online. So even if you're doing all your teaching in a classroom these days, technology certainly is moving in. And so you could have pure classroom learning, technology-enabled learning, which I think most of us are familiar with when we have our learning management systems, and then hybrid or blended learning. And some would identify that if your education, if your course is 30% online to 80% online, that comes under hybrid or blended learning. And then basically you have classroom-supported online learning, where maybe once or twice a term the students have to come on campus, to fully online learning. So in essence, we're flipping in sort of a grand scheme of things. We're flipping from face-to-face to online, and this is sort of the long-term trend. So what happens when we increase pedagogical richness from just giving a presentation as a teacher to allowing students to practice and then having group activities and then real-world interactions, and finally collaboration with the community? So this document, or this diagram, shows that these activities show an increase in pedagogical richness. I'm not going to have you go out to a poll, but just think about the best single word that describes what happens in a traditional classroom lecture. And I'll let you think about that for a moment, or you could pause it. Is this what happens? When I've done this in person at talks, Facebook is pretty prominent. Is this what happens? Sleeping, texting, Instagram, tweeting. So a lot of things happen in a traditional lecture hall. Maybe a little learning occurs, but you can see that unless you're really engaging the students, it's very passive and they tend to do other things. So what is traditional education? Traditional education is a transfer of information, and it basically happens in class. And this is the easy part when you come to think of it. The hard part is the assimilation of information. And this is what happens basically outside of the class. And this is the hard part. This is when the student spends a lot of time going over notes. If they're lucky, maybe replaying a lecture using lecture capture and so on. So this is traditional education. So what happens when we flip the classroom? So what is flipped education? Flipped education is where the transfer of information occurs outside of class. And this is the easy part, so to speak. This is, reading the assignments, reading the chapters in the book, maybe watching videos, watching those captured lectures from the past. And then assimilation of information happens inside the class. And this is the hard part, certainly. I know a lot of you out there are experimenting with this and doing it, but it certainly takes a lot of effort from the faculty standpoint. Some would call this kind of setup peer instruction. So what is peer instruction? Peer instruction is you put a question out there to your students. You let them think. You give them time to think in class. 5 minutes, it could be longer. Then you poll the students, and so they give their individual results. Now what? Now you let the students turn to their neighbor or maybe form a small group and let them discuss the question among themselves. And perhaps some students would try to convince their peers that they are right. So you give them some time to do this, and then you re-poll the same question. And when you do that, hopefully you'll see that more and more people have gotten it correct. And then the instructor or the guide does some explaining, and we go to another question. So this really is the Socratic method in action. So think of something you really know how to do well, and I'll give you a few minutes to think about that. Think of something you really know how to do well. And then think of one word, a verb that comes to mind that enabled you to master that something. Okay? What do you come up with? Invariably, practice is the word that comes up. Read, learn, listen, study, look. Practice is certainly something that we all know. In order to master something, we have to practice. So practicing helps us to move up Bloom's taxonomy. Peer instruction helps us to move up Bloom's taxonomy. If you're not familiar with that, certainly there's a link in my show notes. And we move from a lower order thinking, just remembering and recall, to understanding, to applying knowledge, to analyzing knowledge, to evaluating, and eventually to creating, design, build, and construct, and plan, and produce, and devise. So that's the higher ordered thinking. What happens if we stay with lower ordered thinking? Well, I don't know if you remember Father Guido Sarducci from the Saturday Night Live fame, but he has a very funny video that, again, I can't show it to you here, but the link is on my show notes. And basically he says he came up with the idea of a 5-minute university, and he teaches the students in 5 minutes what they're going to remember 5 years from the day they normally would have graduated. Pretty funny. I can't do it justice, but go and watch. It's a hoot. So what year was the term peer instruction? In other words, classroom flipping. When was that coined? And if you want to take part in our poll, again, go to rodspulsepodcast.com/p/flipping.html. So it was Eric Mazur who I called the godfather of flipping. In fact, I freely admit I borrowed some of the content or the ideas, my last couple slides, from a talk that I've seen him give. He coined peer instruction in the 90s. And at the time, he used a homegrown wired audience response system at Harvard University to teach physics. Became very popular and very successful. In fact, he's on the board of Turning Technologies, which makes Turning Point audience response system that we use at the University of the Sciences. And he later founded Learning Catalytics, which is another excellent audience response system, and apparently it's been purchased by Pearson. So Eric Mazur coined peer instruction in the 90s. So that's it for now. Stay tuned for Vivaldi's Summer Concerto, and next month I'll have the part two, Technology of Flipping. Till next time, have a great week.
That's it for today's episode. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget to give Rod feedback. You can leave comments on his blog, send email to rod@rodspulsepodcast.com, or leave audio feedback on his comment line at 610-616-2199. The preceding audio commentary is the product of the author, Dr. Rodney Murray, and does not represent the official viewpoint of the University of the Sciences or any other institution or company.